There it goes. Okay. Well, we'll see how this thing behaves. Put it right there. So the microphone's pointing up at me. All right. Give a good wave to my neighbor. Make sure we're doing good. We're on good terms, because we are. Or I want to be. I think we are. The joy of front yard dogs. Always troublesome. Oops, I want to keep this one up. Keep that one up because I'm going to be... There we go. Okay. Another week begins. Actually, there's quite a few things that I need to do this week anyway. The temple's closed. The temple in Albuquerque is closed for 2 weeks for, you know, the normal annual cleaning. And that makes for a wonderful opportunity to get, wonderful opportunity to get the car work done. We need to have some alignments pulled together. This looks just like the car I used to have. I wonder if that is the car I used to have. I seem to recall I almost gave it away to somebody. Oh, I sold it to the... No, I gave it to the... I don't know, Sherwood Salvador's once upon a time. Perhaps they sold it or gave it away to somebody else, and it's still doing the rounds. Great. Anyway, so, it's conference weekend. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. Don't get taken in. A lot of warnings about getting your information from good sources. I think that's kind of, I don't know what the right term is, oblique reference to listening to former Mormon podcasts, stuff like that. Things that might cause you some issues. I think it's pretty important to make sure that you don't feel like you can't be had. So, I would preach avoidance. I didn't avoid it for like maybe two or three days. And I don't even know if that was particularly wise. But need to stay out of there. I never talked about the fact that last Sunday I locked my keys in my car. Didn't know until, of course, Monday morning when I woke up and all of a sudden I had no keys to the vehicle. And oh my gosh, I was very fortunate to be able to pull together something to get this door unlocked. Of course, I tore up some of the gasket to make that happen, and spent a little time this week getting another key and finding a place to hide it so that I would have a key if things went badly. So I'm in better shape now. Lisa had me check when I came home this weekend to make sure the key was still there, and it was still there just right where I put it. So that's a good place to put it. And I'm eating an apple. So I think we're in a little better situation. Now than we have been. Still in really good shape, doing well. Not gonna knock on wood. Don't have any wood, but I wouldn't do it if you did. Except to say that, still need to get some things adjusted on it and get another oil change. I need to get another oil change. Got a new phone to take care of the last phone. That was getting difficult to work with. I just need to there's just a couple of more things I need to do. I bought a little phone. A little cheapy. Made for horror markets. When I got it, it had Spanish Puerto Rico on it, so I guess it was a phone that was destined for Puerto Rico. I was able to put English on it. Cost me $20. Basically brand new. Although it came out in 2018. It was a display model. It wasn't, it was from 2018, so it was high time for it to be, uh, basically sold off as scrap. So I got one of them. It works fine. It uses Android 8 Go, which I think is better than the phone I had, which I think was like an Android 4.4 maybe? I forget. It was a lot older. The Go series from Android was really made. The Go version of Android is still being made for phones. Stripped down quite a bit. Still has a lot of the functionality. Not quite as responsive. Takes a little time for it to get itself pulled together. But and it's made for phones with not very much RAM in it. I think there's only 512K of RAM on this phone. So it can't multitask much. We're going to see how good it does with recording, so I'm going to do the recording here, and it's going to go, and I'll see how it goes. And we'll go from there. But yeah, it only cost me $20 for something that wasn't really that old. It's only a couple of years old. As opposed to, you know, the twins, when they would go and they would buy a cheap phone at Walmart, it usually had, it was usually quite old. And used an old version of Android. Used to be quite good at keeping up updates. Keeping apps in Google Play that could that would work for older. If you play that game too much, the whole ecosystem starts getting angry with you because apps find it hard to take advantage of new features while still having to make their apps work with stuff that was good 5 or 6 years ago. Real pain in the butt. So Apple Go was kind of the solution to that. Stripped down version of the current, or the time the phone was made, the then current operating system. Most of the apps would still work with it. Just doesn't have all the bells and whistles. Like, I've noticed that the but I can't do side-to-side swipes for, you know, moving from one email to the next or to the one back of it. That doesn't seem to work. I don't know how much of a pain in the butt that was for doing, but that was something that they could take away. I'm sure they did studies to figure out which features people, although it was nice, that people were willing to live without to save money. And so now that I've got this phone and I'm recording on it now, we're going to see how it does. And, shoot. We'll see. Usually cheaper hardware, you know, like I said, less memory, and usually a more stripped down CPU. I think this is still a quad processor, but either an older one or one that was made for cheaper phones. There's hardware being made for less audacious markets. For being in the United States, you would think I was a guy living in a third world country for the way I eat and the way I spend money and stuff like that. The vehicle I have is one that really never did anything in the United States. It wasn't a popular model, too gutless, but did quite well in the third world. This car was actually constructed in Malaysia. And I think it ended up in the U.S. It got shipped to Alaska. And it spent some time in Alaska. I think it got ordered to be part of like a fleet. Because it is really fuel efficient. But ended up not being a very good vehicle, to be honest. Rattles a lot. Its cheapness really kind of shines through. When I got it had the original stock radio in it, but there were whole parts of the radio that really didn't work very well at all. It wouldn't let you change stations very readily, stuff like that. And so I did some research. Bought myself one of those radios that has a DVD player built into it. The cheapest one available. Funny, through it ended up being through Walmart. And the best of Chinese engineering. Well, not the best, but Chinese engineering. And so... It's got all the problems that you get when you go cheap. The picture and the sound aren't exactly synced up very well. Definitely not made for an American market. One of the few ones that actually actually has an AM radio in it as well. But it basically had what I needed. Plus it had a little bit more. It's got a Bluetooth interface to it, which I have been taking great advantage of. I haven't tried the new phone with the Bluetooth in here. see how that works.
Timing is orange.
Anyway, so the dirt roads and jeep trails I go down are probably about as bad as dirt roads anywhere. Third world or first. And this car can do 75 and pretty decent gas mileage in doing so. Anyway, I think this was originally a program car. Then I think it ended up going through bad credit financing places. Ultimately, that's where I bought it from, was from a bad credit place. They hadn't quite fixed it up to sell yet. And they said, we're not really prepared for somebody to pay in cash. We don't, you know. They said, we're just mostly a finance company for people with bad credit. But they finally figured it out. They knew it was going to be difficult to sell this vehicle very well, you know. It's not very cool. So I got it. I've tried calling the dot too, but it really hasn't stuck very well. It's red, and it's kind of in the same class as the Geo Metro is, which was the original dot. I just end up calling it the vehicle. Okay, vehicle, let's go. So, there's that. Anything else exciting about this week? I think I made some good progress on several fronts. It's time to go ahead and stuff going another way. Work-wise, I'm not being specific, and I probably should be. It's always a bad idea to talk about work, so just don't. So yeah, we got some work to do on the car, so I may actually be staying a night or two in in Socorro. In a motel room in town. Just because I won't have a vehicle while they're working on it. Hopefully it won't take more than a day for them. Because I just need an adjustment. It's not like they're waiting for parts or anything. It's that it just needs to have its stuff adjusted, and I need a new and I need to do an oil change, synthetic oil change. It'd be really nice if they made sure all my stuff was okay. I may need a radiator flush too to get ready for the winter. I don't want to have any problems caused by the fact that too much water in the radiator or something like that, because I've had to add some on occasion. So it might be good to just put in some better stuff. Well, whatever. Got money at the moment, we might as well use it, you know. Anyway, okay. Well, man, I was gonna grab something and I didn't do it. Not that I can't just grab it on the way anyway. Time for a little fish again. Keep things going. Which reminds me, I gotta take my allergy relief stuff. On a new writing project. Not a huge one, but one that I'm not putting up on the blog because it might be a little longer. And a little bit controversial, I think. I've been trying to read scriptures more in context. I'm finding myself quite surprised that a lot of people, general authorities included, sometimes don't put a scripture that they use into proper context. Sometimes it really doesn't make a big difference. Like there was this one fella at the last session of conference just today, and he was talking about when Peter walked the water and he lost faith and he started going under and Christ reached down and pulled him out. He said that he did it lovingly. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. I said, as I recall, he kind of popped Peter in the head, figuratively. And I said, I need to look this up. So he was talking about how Christ will always save us, and he'll always make sure that we don't we don't do things beyond our capacity. And it's like, well, I think the scripture about that incident with Christ and Peter was, I'm sorry, I just think it was an inappropriate one to use, because it did say Christ pulled him out, did not say lovingly. Of course, you have to understand that is always added in modern day, you know, because we always want to talk about how wonderfully loving Jesus is, and you're going, I'm sorry, as I've read encounters with Christ in the Book of Mormon and in the New Testament, certainly in the Old Testament, when Christ was the Lord God of Israel, that he was, I'm not going to say he was nasty, but compared to how we're all taught to be these days, you know, always make sure you say two or three good things before you say one bad thing. No, Christ would just come out and say whatever he wanted to say. He was not a sugar-coated sort, and can I be honest? I don't think people in those times were doing that. I don't think it was a cultural thing to do, was to sugarcoat things. When Christ pulled Peter out of the water, he said, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And you're going, well, that wasn't very nice. That wasn't a nice thing to say. He should have said, oh, good try. Maybe next time. Who knows what he would have said, but he didn't. And of course, it wouldn't have fit with what that general authority was trying to get across. And the whole point was, you shouldn't have used that story to try to get this point across, because you dropped off Christ's whole response to this. Where he talks about how amazing Christ was, and you're going, I'm getting the impression that Christ just knew something about the power of faith. He was encouraging Peter to come, because Peter said, hey, can I come out there to you? And he said, come. And the only way Peter was going to learn is if he knew what his problem was. And his problem was that his faith faltered. And it's like, well, his faith in what? Jesus Christ? And you go, I don't know. To be honest, I don't think it would have been useful or even good for Jesus Christ to say, you can do this because I said you can do this. I'm not saying that's not the way it was, because it's true. When apostles or prophets or whoever raise people from the dead, it isn't them doing it by their own power particularly, although that's hard to say definitively either. Mostly it said, and to do it in my name, in Christ's name. That these things can be done in Christ's name. And then beyond that, it's a matter of faith. In fact, it almost kind of smacks of the fact that a particular priesthood may not even be necessary. These kinds of things used to be done by women who hold no priesthood. And I'm not going to discount stories that say that believers in Jesus Christ, without an official appointment in the priesthood, that they cannot have faith sufficient to do this. I'm not saying that's not possible. So I'm willing to say, in Peter's case, because I don't think Peter had been given the priesthood at that time. So I think it was based strictly on faith. Faith that if Christ said you could do something, you could do it. I don't know if that's tapping into faith in Christ that you can walk on water. I don't necessarily see a connection there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It is an example yet again, and there's plenty of them, and it is not to say bad things about these people. Everybody has their faith in a lot of interesting things. Some of it is, can I be honest, juvenile faith, which is great. Juvenile faith does amazing things. The doctrine of Christ is to be baptized, to repent, be baptized, to become as a little child. Now, we're not supposed to be as little children forever, but that's what the doctrine of Christ is. The doctrine of Christ is to get us to a certain point, by and large, through this life. We do not have to be amazing. In fact, Christ doesn't even advise us to be amazing. To do miracles of our own volition is not required. Not saying it can't be done. But it's just not part of the program. You can progress beyond there. And I know the Christians will just go ballistic and say, how dare you even say any such thing? Because they have no concept of progression particularly. Or at least as far as I have ever heard, it seems like Christians don't believe in that stuff. To be a good little child tied to Christ is the greatest thing they could ever aspire to. And to be honest, it's a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing at all, but just know that, yes, better things can happen. I think people can have Elijah experiences. People can have Enoch sort of experiences. And these things are not typically done by the simple faith in Christ that Christ preaches. Simple faith in Christ isn't going to do the miracles that Moses did. Christians just don't go down that road. It's just not there. You know, no judgment to it at all. Are they going to have a great reward? Yes. The terrestrial kingdom is beautiful and wonderful and full of wonderful people who don't do nasty things. As I've often said, that's like having a Garden of Eden experience. And I think that has been, I was just listening to a talk by Bruce R. McConkie, I don't know when it was, maybe back in the 70s, and he did that. Now, I probably had heard that before and just really hadn't thought about it until lately. But his thing was about the terrestrial kingdom basically being a Garden of Eden type of scenario. And this is the paradise that Christians wish for. And you go, that's great. Now, you know, you can get more. You can try to go for more. And of course, to most Christians, that is blasphemous. Whatever. Most Christians don't have a concept of 144,000, so it's just not part of their thing. The few that do are really looked at kind of not very handily, I would have to say. However, yeah, so I've been putting together a little thing about millstones. You know, and Lisa keeps going, why do you keep going to the dark side of Christ? And I'm going, Lisa, because too many people dismiss the dark side as if it's not there. And Christ is constantly, in Scripture, issuing warning about how unkind, unnice, unloving he can seem. And that far too many people paint this picture of Christ that I can be, that I honestly think isn't terribly accurate. And the sad day when they actually do encounter the authentic Christ, the Messiah, that they might reject him, because he's not who they say he is. The person they talk about, as far as I'm aware of, you know, about being so wondering, so loving, so flattering. I can only think that when people at the time of Christ, the prophets from before Christ, looked at our day and had a concept of what the Antichrist was comparatively, they usually talk along the lines of them being cunning, very flattering. That's actually a word that comes up quite often in the Book of Mormon about Antichrist figures in the Book of Mormon. We really don't read of almost any in the Bible at all. References are made to such people, but we really don't see them. We don't really see examples. In the Book of Mormon, we do. And it usually comes from somebody who talks a good line, talks about that Christ isn't going to come and destroy people. Look at the original Antichrist, Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. You know? The commandment was that if they partook of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. And silver-tongued devil that Lucifer was, that's the first thing that he rebutted. He said, oh, if you eat the fruit, you're not going to die. And sweeten it up, and you shall be as the gods, knowing good and evil, which was true. They would know good and evil. Didn't tell them the kind of the the way you would gain that knowledge didn't, you know, speaking in half-truths, only telling you the good side of things, stuff like that. And those who talk about, who was that guy Gnumping? He's called it Teddy Bear Jesus. The Jesus that you hold close to you and makes you feel good and snuggles up to you. And for which the only appellation you have for them is love. And it's like, but that's not the Christ that we have in the scriptures. He talks about love occasionally. More often than not, he talks about hard things that will come. The fact that he will come, that he will have vengeance, that he will, you know, that things will go badly, and it will go badly by his hand. You know, not a bad guy. I mean, in these days, he would not be looked upon as a nice person, as a good figure. And that's a tough thing to sit down and to deal with for modern people who say, oh, he's got to be loving and you know, sallow face and hugs and tenderness. And it isn't that he isn't like that at times, and more particularly to certain people. To people who behave like his children. That's the magic powder. Everybody thinks that Christ is going to be wonderful to everybody. And it's like, he helps those who strive to come to him. Falteringly, any effort at all is going to get a good reaction from Christ. However, the thought that he is just going to let a certain amount of sin in you slide, it's just not going to happen. Unequivocal statements made about that fact. And I'm getting ready to go off here, get off the road, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and stop this recording and we'll make another one in a little bit. Talk to you later. Bye.